And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight, we have someone that you're familiar with, Jerry Wills, explorer and executive producer at Expeditions TV. Many of you sent emails telling me how amazed you were when Jerry was with us last and reported on his expedition to the doorway of Aramuru. And, of course, when Mark Felder was on, Mark was a man that was on that expedition and that went through that doorway. I got more emails talking about how amazing that was. But in that show where Jerry told us about that expedition, he also told us, we talked a little bit about, another doorway alleged to exist in the American Southwest. And he said that he thought that he and his wife had pinpointed where that doorway is located, and that they were going to head out and see if they could find it. Well, they've just made their first scouting trip, and he's with us tonight to talk with us about that doorway and to talk with us about his expedition. He just got back. And so we're getting this hot off the press, if you will. From his office at Expeditions TV, Jerry Wills joins us tonight. Jerry, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, Jerry, it's always a pleasure for me whenever we have you on. And tonight is a brand new something. And the brand new something is that we are, for the first time tonight, able to watch you as you talk with us and to see you as you appear on the show tonight. So I appreciate you for putting up with a little test we had to do and make sure it was working, and indeed it is.
Actually, it's working quite well. I'm using the other computer over here as a monitor, and I can see the entire show just like your viewers are. It looks perfect.
Outstanding. Before we get into all of this about the doorway, we just ran a spot where you held up a tapestry from Urkos, and you're giving that away. We're going to have the drawing on the first Monday night in March. That'll be March the 2nd. Everyone who's in our members area has the opportunity to be in that drawing. And I just wonder if you happen to have that handy.
Yes, actually I do. I have it right here. I'll put it up in front of my face. It's more interesting anyway.
It'll be an improvement, Jerry.
Take a look at this.
That is nice. Now, what is this tapestry made of?
This is made of wool. It's dyed with colors that are natural and earth colors. And it's all hand-woven. All the thread, everything is made in southern Peru. The people who live on Urkos Island, or actually the islands of Urkos, more appropriately stated, they made this, and of course a lot of other things as well, and they sell them to people, tourists, who are coming through. And I picked this up. It was about $85, and I figured it would be a perfect item for someone in your listening audience who either is or is about to become a member of your members area, and to create a bit of a contest so that someone could get this.
Well, I want to thank you for doing that. And actually, hold that up again. That sort of looks like a portrait.
Yeah, it is a portrait. It's a portrait of me.
Yeah,
they're very generous in their in the way that they portrayed me.
Oh yeah, yeah. Put a little crown on your head.
One on the other side, a little bit better looking. Actually, there you go.
Oh yeah, vivid colors. Yeah, so this is like their impression of you, huh?
I guess so. I looked in the mirror, and I was a little frightened at first, but then I got used to the way I looked, and everything was fine thereafter.
All right, Jerry, let's talk about this doorway. Now, we've talked about it before. We've talked about the fact that it's been legend, it's been talked about for a long time here in Arizona. It's not something that's new for people who live out here in Arizona. So, this was actually reported on in the newspaper out here, I don't know, early 1900s. And I've seen the report, and I looked for it today on the internet and couldn't find it. I've seen the newspaper article about it, but I couldn't find it today on the internet. But have you seen that?
Yeah, that's what really got us started. One of our newsletter subscribers sent us a little snippet of information. So my wife, Kathy, who is an extraordinary researcher, started looking, and eventually she found it. It was just in a small newspaper. It wasn't like the Arizona Republic, one of the larger ones here in the valley. And so she spent the next few years tracking down the details and trying to understand where this might be based upon the information that she had. And now we know exactly where this is within a one-mile radius, which isn't going to be difficult to nail it any further than that. And we're going to be heading up an expedition in a few weeks and heading down to find this, you know, to document it, just like we do the other things on Expeditions TV. A lot of folks don't have an opportunity to travel, so what we're going to do is we're going to document this on video, and when we get back, then we'll put it back up on Expeditions TV as another episode.
All right, now you've just, I guess you could say you did a scouting expedition or a scouting trip just to find an appropriate campsite for the main expedition that will take place later. And right. I guess this would be a good time for us to just go ahead and take a look at some of the photos that you sent me of that, and then I've got some other photos that are not from there, but I'm going to ask you about them.
All right.
You sent them, so I'm going to let you comment on them. All right.
Sure.
Let's go to the pictures. And what we're looking at here in this picture is a range of mountains in the distance and a lot of scrub, a lot of brush in between the camera and the mountains. What are we looking at here?
Well, what we're looking at is a mountain range that extends from southern Arizona down into Mexico. It's a volcanic range. And this is the scene from way back in there. I mean, we were back several miles along dirt trails. There weren't even roads, really. And these scrub brush, you see how they look kind of black. They're actually very black, like they've been burned, but they haven't. That's just the nature of their bark. They're just absolutely pitch black. And, of course, it's not summertime, and there are very few evidences of anything green out here. So it's all, you know, like wintertime scrub brush looking through trees.
What will this look like in the summertime?
Well, actually, in the summertime, it won't be that much different. It'll just be a lot hotter. But what you would see in the springtime, for example, say around April, is it would be a lot more green. You'd see leaves and greenery in this shot.
All right. And now let's go to the next photo that you sent me. And I believe this is this area that we're looking at is labeled campsite, so I assume it means campsite, but explain what we're looking at.
Well, what we're looking at is a saddleback between two of these mountains. This particular area is between a couple of volcanic peaks, and what you're looking at is a sandstone area, actually, which I thought was a bit surprising. But it has been pushed up and broken, and there are a lot of big boulders that go all the way through it. This is a low, flat, grassy area. It's called Bear Grass by the locals. And when you are looking in this particular direction, you're looking sort of off to the side, really, of where we would actually go in to where this portal is at.
You know, every time I see photographs of Arizona, or even when I'm out walking, for instance, at South Mountain, I'm always struck by how much it looks like Mars. It looks like Mars with vegetation on it.
Yeah, it does. And this area is so remote. There's nothing there. There are no power lines, nothing. You're about 5 miles from the Mexican border, and there are no people, nothing, just cows. It's open range.
So this is truly the Wild West.
Yeah, it's the frontier, that's for sure. It's kind of like the frontier, you know, in southern Peru when you are going towards Bolivia or Chile. It's a very vast and abandoned region. There just aren't any people there.
All right, now, this campsite, where is it in relation to that mountain range that we saw?
Well, right now we are in a saddleback. The mountain range is on either side of this shot.
Okay. So you're in kind of a depression in the mountain range.
Yes, exactly.
All right, now from this spot, you're within how far of this gateway?
From every detail that we have, we are within 1 mile.
All right. Now, when you get here to this spot, how do you get to this gateway or portal? Do you go by car? Do you go by horse? Do you go by foot? What do you do?
Well, at this point, we stop here and set up camp, set up the electronics and the tents and whatnot, and then we will walk in.
You know, Jerry, a mile over this kind of terrain is a long walk, but I assume because of all the expeditions you've done in South America that you are somewhat accustomed to those long walks.
Oh, this is a piece of cake. The last long walk we had was about a 2.5 mile walk, and it was from 12,800 feet to 14,600 feet, and mostly climbing all the way up, and of course coming down. It was just a new set of muscles that were being worked, but this is nothing compared to that.
In the batch of pictures you sent me, you sent me this wonderful picture, and unless I'm mistaken, that's rattlesnakes, and it's a whole bunch of them. You sent me several so people can see. I'm going to cycle through those. You sent me several of those photographs, and did you take these photographs?
No, I didn't take them. These were sent to me. But there's a lot of them coming out of that hole there.
There's a bunch of them. But you just thought that would be fun to send to me, I guess, because you know exactly how I feel about snakes.
Well, we wanted you to come with us, Kevin.
So yeah, I see you did.
If I showed you this, then you would know that we were going to take good care of you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's enough right there. I could just move out of the state over that. But these were not actually even in this state. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, more with Jerry Wills. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jerry Wills. We'll bring him back up on screen in just a moment, but a quick reminder, all of the music that you hear on this show is from independent artists. And they've made their music available to shows like this for podcasts and so forth through GarageBand.com and music.podshow.com. So go over and check those sites out. I think you'll find it very interesting. Lots and lots and lots of music over there. All right, let's bring Jerry back. And Jerry, let's talk about this this doorway. What's the story here?
Well, the story, actually there are several stories, and the first story has to do with some Indians, some Native Americans who were living down there. I think they were the Odom, but I'm not sure. Anyway, as the story goes, there were some kids that were playing in this particular area. They were around the portal laughing and carrying on and having fun. And this one kid took off running, and he jumped through the portal and jumping back and forth, laughing and laughing. He jumped through it again, and he vanished. Well, his friends thought he was hiding, and they were looking everywhere for him, but they saw him jump through and vanish, so they were pretty shook up by that. They went back to the village, and they told the village elders what had happened, and they came back, a group of them came back to this area, and they were examining this it's an archway, really. So they were examining this, looking it over, throwing stones through, trying to, you know, understand what had happened to this young man. And nothing, of course, the stones went right on through, and there wasn't any evidence anything unusual was happening, until one of the women from the village who had brought a chicken with her tossed the chicken through the arch, and it too vanished. And at that point, they decided that this was, you know, a very spooky place, and they forbade anybody to go there again. It became a sacred ground, or cursed ground, or whatever, you know, they would have called it. In the days that followed, there were others who encountered the doorway. On one occasion, there was a fellow sitting there. It was cloudy, and as he looked through the doorway, it's an archway, really. As he was looking through the archway, he noticed it was sunny when he looked through the archway, but then he took a look around. It was cloudy, so he couldn't figure out how that could be. At one point, he heard some sounds, and he took a look, and he thought that he saw some Spanish conquistadors riding along. Now, he wasn't looking through the doorway at this point. He started looking out across the valley, and these Spanish conquistadors on their horses were riding along in formation, and as he's watching them, they rode by probably a distance of about a half a mile. Then there was a shimmering effect, and they just all vanished. There was another occasion where one of the ranch hands was up there, and he saw this fellow look like a priest, dressed in black, great big hat, and he was walking across this valley, again about a half a mile or so away. The fellow could see him quite clearly because he was kicking up dust. And then he reached a certain point. There was this shimmering, and he just faded out of view like he was a mirage.
And this was a different guy.
Usual things. What's that?
This was a different witness?
These are three different witnesses.
Uh-huh.
One of the most unusual things that we're trying to pin down was back in the 1800s, and maybe Kathy remembers what the date was on that, but it was in the 1800s. It was reported in the Tombstone newspaper. There were some problems with some cattle that were missing, and these ranchers and their hired hands, they were out trying to figure out what had happened. Maybe it was a big cat, maybe, you know, because there are the black jaguars down there. There are mountain lions down there. So these guys were out riding along. There was this thing they called a pterodactyl that they finally caught up with. It was poaching one of the cattle, one of the small calves, actually. Grabbed it, flew off with it. They took off riding after this thing, shooting at it. Finally, it crashed down into the desert, and they went up, killed it, measured it. They said it had like a 35-foot on each side wingspan, and I think the thing's body was like 40 or 50 feet long. So they drug it back as far as they could, and there was a big newspaper article about it in Tombstone.
Now, is this the one where there was a photograph that was published with the article?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I've seen that photograph. And, of course, what you usually hear from the skeptics is, well, it's an old photograph and it could be a fake. So what do you think about that?
Well, it may be, but the story certainly has carried on through the years. And at the time that it happened, I don't think they had the capacity to really fake something like this. But, you know, down there, you have a lot of strange things that happen, and this didn't really make the mainstream media, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. So, as far as you're concerned, it's the real deal. That story's the real thing.
Oh, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we've run into stories like this as we've gone through South America as well. People seeing giant birds, giant winged lizards, and that sort of thing. So who knows if it was really a pterodactyl or something else. I mean, it's impossible to tell at this point. But there was something that was huge, that was flying, that was poaching those cattle.
So are you saying that these giant creatures came out of that doorway?
Well, that's the theory that we have. You know, the thing is that if this is a dimensional doorway, a portal of some sort, it may not be that it's just the portal that is the active aspect of it. We've got records so far from Kathy's research that suggest that the effects of this portal reach about 2 miles in diameter all the way around where the portal is. And if that's the case, and of course we have to say if because we don't have any idea, but if it is the case, then let's say, for example, this portal is indeed a connecting point back in time. Perhaps it swings through time like a pendulum. And as such, let's say that it goes back 130 million years ago when there might be pterodactyls flying along. Well, if one of them flew through the same area and this portal just happened to be active at that moment, it may have just flown right into that field and instantly been transported to the present. And, of course, it would be we wouldn't have any idea where it's at. Now, the curious thing is about the young Indian, young Native American that went through this doorway, it was about 50-some-odd years later that a cowboy was riding along out there on that range, and he came across the remains of a young Indian man. But the bones were not 50 years old. The bones had been picked clean by the scavengers. But according to his testimony, this young man couldn't be any more than maybe a month having been dead. But that would be impossible because there were no Indians there at that time. This was in the 50s. So to be dressed like they would be dressed back in the late 1800s and show up as a skeleton in the late 50s, just didn't seem to make any sense to this fellow. He reported it to the sheriff, and I guess they confiscated the remains and gave it a proper burial. But he couldn't explain it because there were no Indians there at all at that time.
And what about now? Are there a lot of Native Americans in this area, or are they gone?
Well, the Tohono O'odham are living, let's see, that would be pretty far east where we were.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, this portal does not have the same appearance as the one that you have been to in South America, the one you've talked to us about before. This portal, as I understand it, is just a stone archway, right?
Yeah, that's the description we've been given as well. No, it doesn't look like the one at Aramamuru. We're not sure what to make of this, because one of the things that we've been shown, and you know, as a result of the research anyway, is that the original archway has collapsed. It's no longer intact. Apparently it collapsed back in the late 70s. But what we have been told by a couple of people who know where this is, who are helping us to get to it, is that there is now, and we've seen these pictures, there's now another archway just a little distance, I mean, we're talking 20 or 30 feet from the original archway, and this new archway is quite large, and it looks like a serpent that has raised up and come across, and its head is lying on a pillar. It's a very unusual rock formation. It looks very distinctive, like a snake with its head on a pillar. And that's the one we're going after to get video of, and of course, whatever's remaining of the original archway, we're going to be documenting that as well.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you've been talking to someone who spent a lot of time out there, has seen the original archway. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
And so this person would know if the archway that's there now was there then. What does he say about it?
Well, he thinks that whatever forces are involved, they've created another archway because it's necessary in order for that place to work. He's really quite at loss about all this, but he's thoroughly surprised by it.
And does he say that this archway that is there now, the one that looks like a snake with its head on a pillar, does he say it was not there when he saw the original archway?
That's correct. When he was there with the original archway, the second archway was not there. And one of the really curious things about it is that the pictures that he took that we've seen, and the pictures that were taken 30 years later that we've also seen, it looks as though the entire place has been rearranged, that things have been moved around and placed differently. The same mountain range profile is in the background, and that sort of thing, but large, large boulders and features on this particular plateau have been moved from one place to another. It's very strange.
All right, we're just 30 seconds or so from, well, not even that. We're just probably 15 seconds from break. I'll reserve this question until we come back. But I want to ask you about those photographs. All right, folks, we are talking with Jerry Wills this evening, and I think it's especially cool that we get to watch him while we talk to him. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Jerry Wills. We're talking about a dimensional doorway, a time portal, a stargate. What do you call it, Jerry? Oh, it would help if I bring you on the air. There we go.
All righty. There we go. Well, basically, I don't know what to call it. From the descriptions that I've been given, and Kathy just told me a couple more of the stories that she remembers, it seems like it is a time portal. Somehow it moves like a pendulum, swinging through time. And at certain times of the year, you see different things, apparently, from the details that Kathy was just giving me.
All right. Now, you, during this scouting expedition, you had the opportunity to speak with locals that live in the area and to ask them about this. What do they say about it?
Well, in the little town in southeastern Arizona where this is near, the people don't want to talk about it at all. They have their own names for the place, and they're really kind of quiet about it. If you start asking questions, they don't know anything. Or if you press them for answers, they just tell you they don't want to talk about it. They don't like it. They don't like the thing at all.
All right. Did you find anyone that would talk with you about it? Any locals?
Well, yeah, of course. We have fans out there all over the world, and some of them just happen to be in this particular area. Old friends, actually. And they told us the stories about this place, some of the things that they knew, and it paralleled the things we already knew, things I've already told you. So it wasn't anything new and unique from what I've already mentioned. But to hear it from the people who live nearby, it really adds some credibility to it, because you can read the inflection in their voice and the characterization on their faces when they start telling you these things. It's like they're telling you a ghost story, but it's one that they believe to be true, something that genuinely bothers them. It's an unknown, it's in their backyard, and they feel a bit intimidated by it.
I understand that there are some stories that demons come through this gate. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, apparently the Spanish Spanish missionaries who occupied this region that came across from New Mexico, and they were working with the Native Americans there, they found out something about it. We don't know. There aren't any records that we can get access to, if there are even any records that exist. But they didn't want people to go around there. They even avoided it. They were afraid of it, from what little we found out, because they felt the demons were coming through this. Now, in our modern day description of this, what their descriptions are of these demons parallel the gray ETs with the big black buggy eyes. So
I believe there's
that and the reptilians. You know, you hear people talk about reptilians.
Mm-hmm.
So it really parallels those two kinds of extraterrestrial, as we call them now. And back then, well, they didn't know what they were. They were demons.
All right. I want to explore that a little more, and then I want to go back to those photographs and ask a question about those. There was a story about one of the things that somebody has seen was an upright reptile walking in the area, or am I confusing that with something?
And the story's a bit sketchy. I don't have the absolute details. I'll try to get the fellow to give us that story on camera when we go down there. Basically, there was a fellow who was out hunting, and he noticed that there were some unusual tracks. And these tracks had one long heel coming in the back of the track, and in the front there were like three toes, but they were long. And these toes apparently curved downward and seemed to have claws on them. They were quite large. This creature, whatever it was walking in moist sand going up a wash, a sandy wash, and so he followed it. about 15 or 20 minutes later, he heard this growling, weird sound that he'd never heard before. He stopped and he's looking, and finally he saw this thing move in the brush up ahead of him about 100 feet. He said it was about 10 foot tall, and it looked like a man that looked like a lizard, and it was walking through this brush away from him. So he became very frightened, and he decided to leave.
Did the thing, whatever it was, did it see him? Did it notice him?
Well, you know, it may have made that growling noise because he was approaching it, but I have no way to know if it had actually seen him or not.
But this guy's still alive, right?
Yeah, he's still alive. I was planning on getting his story on tape.
All right, now, how confident are you that he'll talk with you on tape about that?
I'm very confident that he will.
All right, let's talk about these photos before we have to head into the next break. You were talking about photos of the area as it used to be. Have you seen those? Mm-hmm. Have you seen those photos of the original arch?
Yes, I have.
And
the original arch was probably 4 or 5 feet tall. It wasn't very large. And, well, it just looked like a sandstone arch, really. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything peculiar looking. It's something you might expect to find in that kind of environment.
All right, and the new arch is supposed to be how large?
Well, I believe from the picture and what I could make of it, it looks to be about 7 foot, maybe 8 foot tall.
So you could walk through that.
It'd be tall enough for me to walk through.
Yeah. Well, and that's saying something, Jerry, because you are a tall individual. So it's a pretty good size arch now.
I might have to duck.
You, the doorway at Aramaru, you went through that doorway, and what do you think you're going to go through this one?
No, I'm not interested in even trying it. I want to understand what this is and get a better grasp on the dynamics of how it operates. However, if you remember seeing the video that we just released about 4 or 5 days ago, the doorway or the Stargate at Aramamuru on ExpeditionsTV.com, there are some guys in there that attempted to operate the doorway. One of them was on your show, Mark Felder, another fellow, Ray, and another fellow, Jeff Vance, who's on one of the promo commercials that we made for you. Those three guys are going to be with us on this expedition, and I know with some certainty that at least one of them is going to try to activate this portal.
Man, that is risky business. Risky business. Now,
well, they're going to bring a rope.
You know, another thing that we need to tell folks, even though those photographs of the rattlesnakes were not from this area, those rattlesnakes were actually Texas.
Right.
We do have rattlesnakes all over the desert out here.
Absolutely.
Did you see any on this little expedition? But it's really too early in the year for the rattlesnakes to be out.
True.
And that's one of the things I was a little surprised about.
I'm sorry?
That's one of the things I was a little bit surprised about when you sent those photographs of rattlesnakes. I thought, oh, my goodness, they're really out early. And they're out in force. So
yeah, it looked like the rattlesnake army, didn't it?
It did. It did. That is, those are some big rattlesnakes. And when I lived in Texas, I've seen them that size in the wild. And
just north of where we're going to be, probably north, I'd say about 50 miles. To give you some idea,
Jerry, we'll have to wait, man. The break just took over. So we'll have to wait and get that when we come back. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Jerry Wills, and we're talking about this doorway that's alleged to be in the American Southwest here. Now, Jerry, you were about to tell us something when the break took over, so I'll let you have the floor.
It was just anecdotal, Kevin. What I was going to say is about 50 miles north of where this place is, of course, it's all wilderness out there, desert wilderness. And last year, there was a rattlesnake that was killed, one of the largest ever killed in that area, and it was as big around as this part of my arm.
Yeah, I fully believe that. I have seen rattlesnakes in Texas that... we're very nearly that size, just awesome-looking creatures. And, they don't have to put up a sign that says yield right-of-way. I see a snake like that, he's got the right-of-way, and I'm going to get out of the way. Me and snakes just don't get along. When I was in East Timor, I'll tell you this very quickly, and then we'll move back to our discussion of the doorways. In monsoon season, it's not like monsoon season in Arizona where you get four drops of rain instead of two. It was real monsoon. I mean, raindrops like buckets of water. And for day after day after day after day after day. And everything looks for higher ground. And so you have to be very careful about things coming into your house. We had just concluded monsoon season. The last rain, big rain we had was like that morning, and it was beginning to sort of go away. I walked into my house in the jungle, and I was going to pack a suitcase because I was leaving the next morning to go to Thailand. And when I picked up the suitcase, there was a cobra coiled up behind it. Well, me and the cobra did battle. He lost. So I'll tell you, Samsonite suitcases are really good against cobras. But I don't like snakes. All right. Let me ask you this, and then we're going to open up the telephone line so that our audience can call and talk with you. Jerry, are there stories of other doorways like this in North America that you're aware of, or is this the only one that you know of?
Well, we've actually heard of a few others. I don't know if the reports have any validity or not, but we've been told of a few that exist throughout North America, East Coast to West Coast, and as far north as the Canadian border. So we don't know, but what we want to do is eventually get there and find out for ourselves what the details are. And Kathy is busy working on these details, putting together the pieces. And as soon as we get to a point, as we did with this one, where we know where to go, then we'll go and check that out.
Well, I've just put a photograph up of Kathy. We hear you talk about her all the time, and folks, I think, need to see who you're talking about. Your very wonderful wife, and so her picture is up now. And so when you hear Jerry talk about Kathy, well, that's Kathy. Now, this photograph that I've just put up is apparently in that same area of the campsite. Is that correct?
Yes, that is. That's her.
All right. What I would like for us to do now, oh, and our thanks to Kathy for doing all that research to locate this place. It's going to be very interesting to see the video that you bring back from the actual expedition. So what I would like to do now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Kevin, is that with the equipment that we have, when we get out there, we're going to set up the broadcaster, and we're going to broadcast live from the site, from the campsite, and if we can, from the site itself, where the door, where the portal is. If we can't broadcast from the portal live, then we'll play the tapes that we made that day so everyone can see it. And what I want to do is I want to invite you to come with us.
After you sent me those pictures of those snakes, you got a lot of nerve, buddy, I'll tell you.
I have a big stick.
Well, if there is any way possible for me to make that trip, I will make the trip with you. I sure will. There are several things I have to check. Because we'll talk about it, but there are some
That's
technical
fine.
Issues I have to tend to make sure the show goes on. Okay, now, I think what we'll do at this point is open up the telephone lines and allow people to call in. And so what I am doing at this point is putting the telephone number on the screen for those who are watching our internet TV channel. For those who are listening by radio, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. All right? 623-444-5889. Let's go to the telephone, and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you.
Very interesting show. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
Well, it's very interesting stuff tonight. I had a question, and I was wondering, with all these snakes around in the area, I just had an idea that came to mind. What about the idea of seeing what kind of reaction certain animals have to this area, like... Are there any snakes around this doorway, or are there any animals around this area? I wonder what would happen if you would bring some sort of like maybe a dog with you to see if they catch some sort of, you know, they're able to sense things that we aren't able to, from what I have heard, you know, when earthquakes are imminent and animals are able to, they almost have a reaction in front of that. That was my idea.
That's a very good point. One of the things that we've been told is that you don't find any animals around this doorway, including snakes and scorpions. You don't find many insects. You don't find animals. Nothing. You don't find things around this. The people we've spoken to have each on their own, and at different times during a conversation we'd have with them at different times, they've told us the same thing. You don't see any animals there, which, you know, seems to be a little strange, but of course we haven't been there to validate that for ourselves.
Well, one thing that's interesting is from what the people that have done study at the Skinwalker Ranch, which is, I don't know if it's similar to this, but other situations like this where there's strange things happening, that some of the animals will not go near it. So I wonder what would happen if you brought a dog out there and just to see if it did anything. That was just my idea. You guys were talking about snakes, and we know Kevin loves snakes, so.
I hate snakes.
You know, I figured that we'd bring that up because, you know, Kevin loves snakes, so.
Well, Ryan, I want to thank you for the call.
Snake soup. We'll have some snake soup over at five.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I do like to eat rattlesnake, and I do like to eat python. I do not like to be in their presence, and if they're not over a fire, I don't want them.
If I was down there, I'd go with you. But anyways, keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, if they're not roasting over a fire, I'm not interested in a snake. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, and we would be glad to take your call at that telephone number. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Trey in Louisiana.
Yeah, Trey.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry, for coming on the show. I want to ask you, all these different places you've been, or I guess I don't know how many doorways you've been to, Have you heard any stories of any of the locals, any of the old stories maybe, of any of the local elders maybe figured out how to use these? Or any stories of maybe one guy who, you know, years ago learned how to use it possibly?
Well, the only time we've discovered that someone was actually somewhat fluent in used the doorway was that fellow that I met in southern Peru, the Aymara gentleman. His name was Pedro. He was a shaman, and he seemed to know more about it than anyone else. I don't know that the Native Americans in this particular area know anything about it at all, because they're all afraid of it, and there really aren't any anecdotal pieces of evidence that would suggest otherwise. Now, I think this thing is probably either a fluke of nature, or if it is some ancient type of machine, then the secrets of how it is operated have become as lost as those who originally constructed it. Now, there's also a possibility that it's extraterrestrial. And, of course, we don't have any ETs to talk to find out how to manage this this machine either. We just don't know. But to answer your question, there's only two places I've been where there was a doorway. And in only one instance, they knew something about it. Now, we know about a doorway in Ecuador. And the Indians up there, the Quechua Indians up in the mountains of Ecuador, they're familiar with the doorway, but they're afraid of it. I don't know how much they know about that. When we go to Ecuador, hopefully later this year, we'll be able to make a better determination about that. And, of course,
the
video, and we'll bring that video back for everyone.
Well, if they're afraid of it, it could be, you know, afraid of the unknown, but it could also be there's a reason they're afraid of it, because they've been told a story, you know. But anyway, I want to say one thing before I hang up. It just kind of reminds me of an episode of Star Trek called The Library, where they could travel back through time. It was one of the episodes.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, anyway, thanks for coming on, Jerry.
All right, and thanks for the call. All right, folks, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, and we are talking with Jerry Wills this evening. Jerry is an explorer, and he is the executive producer at Expeditions TV. If you haven't been to that site, you really ought to go. There's some fabulous video over there, it's simply the letter X, Peditions. Okay, no dash, no space, no underscore. Expeditions TV. And is that .com or .org?
It's .com.
Okay. All right, telephone line is open. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Charles in Michigan.
Hi, Charles.
Hello.
Yep, what's on your mind?
I got a question for Jerry.
All right, go ahead.
Hi,
with
Charles.
It.
How you doing, Jerry? I'm watching
I'm
you on Ustream
great.
TV.
Hey,
pretty
Charles.
Cool.
Good to be seen by you. Too bad it's not too late.
Yep.
Okay, what's your question, Charles?
All right. My question is, out there in the desert, when you look up in the sky and you see all these stars, what do you think about the possibility that we have been visited and that we will know within the next few years there will be total disclosure or not?
Well, I don't know if there's ever going to be total disclosure, Charles, but I can tell you with absolute certainty we've been visited by extraterrestrials. That's not any big mystery to me. You see, when you're in South America, you run into things like that in the most unlikely places, and you hear stories from the most unlikely people. I was sitting up front in the co-pilot seat of a 737 on our way to Iquitos, a passenger airliner, and the captain and I knew each other, and he let me come up and sit there while the co-pilot went and got himself a cup of coffee. And he was telling me about an experience where he was flying over the Andes, and he saw these discs land and go to this village. Well, he had seen a lot of things like that. There are occasions where I've seen things like that as well, mostly in South America, but a few times here in the United States. And as far as disclosure goes, you know, I think the people who are keeping it a secret are not the people within our government. Because if you think about it, if they meaning the people who are from elsewhere, if they didn't want it to be a secret, they certainly have it within their power to let us know who they are and that they're here. I don't think it's our government. I think our government is basically in a position to where, you know, they don't know exactly what to do. I don't think they're being the bad guys in this particular instance. But there are other extraterrestrials out there who aren't so nice. And it could very well be that the extraterrestrials that are maintaining the secrecy are the ones who are saying, if you let anything out about this, you're going to wish you hadn't. So, you know,
all right.
Conjecture on my point.
Am I still on?
You are indeed, sir. Jerry, let me tell you, we lost your video feed. So you probably need to click that link and let's get you back on the video.
Okay, I'm on it.
Okay.
I kind of had a lead-out question on that.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I've been really studying this Van Allen belt, and I've been trying to... I'm in an astronomy class right now, and it's a lot of physics, and... I mean, I'm not one of the guys that thinks that we'd never went to the moon. I mean, I've seen the guy drop the hammer and the feather... I've seen all the stuff where they pretty much debunked most of the conspiracy theory against going to the moon. And I can understand why we could have faked it before the Russians decided it was like a Cold War thing. But, I mean, Apollo 14 obviously happened.
Okay.
I mean, unless he came out and said, was it Dr. Mitchell? Or he came out and said that he has information. I mean, it's pretty amazing to hear a guy like that come out and say he has information about visitation and things like that. I mean, but...
Okay, but what's your question?
Okay. I don't know. I guess I don't have the question anymore. I just answered it for myself. No one has the answer. We don't have the answer, so...
Well, listen, Charles, I thank you for your call.
Thanks.
All right. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you have a question or a comment for Jerry, don't hesitate to call. Let me also say, for those of you who are outside of the USA, you're outside of Canada, you can, if you don't want to make a long-distance call, international long-distance call, you can send me a flash message. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. But look, I'll tell you, the best way is to go to my website. Scroll down and use that link, because that will get you through all of our spam filters, okay? So you'll see it. Just go to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down. You find a link that says flash message. It's green. Just click that and use it. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Name's Richard, and calling from Salt Lake City.
Okay, Richard?
Jerry, Richard. It's a pleasure talking to you. I've seen some of your videos, not only a great explorer, but a wonderful healer also. But I did have a question. I see a lot of similarities between this place that you're talking about and the Skinwalker Ranch. I'm wondering, if have you examined the similarities between the two? And if so, have you shared any of your research or anything with NIDS or Bob Larson?
You know, I've heard of the Skinwalker Ranch, but that's about as far as it goes. I don't really know much about it at all.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's not too far from Salt Lake City where I was, and I'm a blogger, went up there and tried to talk to the people, and just like you said, you know, some of them will talk about it, but I can get very few of them, if any, to go on camera. So,
well, I
was just curious on that. And one more question. Are you taking any field researchers or people with you on your trip next time down? Anybody volunteers?
Down to Peru or here in this site?
Either here in this site.
On this particular site, we've got an expeditionary crew already assembled, but these are guys that are part of the regular team where we go and do research. Once we've established that research, where we've gone down, we've videotaped, and we've got the details, and come back, at that point, then we're going to schedule another trip down for folks like yourself who would like to go and see this for themselves.
Well, it sounds great. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, I would say if you want to be kept up on that, go to expeditionstv.com and join the newsletter, because that's where I'll announce it.
Okay, Jerry. Thank you very much.
And, Richard, let me ask you this. Are you a first-time caller?
No, second time, no.
Second time. All right. Okay, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. The first time you called, did we give you some applause?
Yes, you did. I got a big applause. Thank
All right.
you very much.
Very good. Thanks for the call.
And I'll give you a big thumbs up this time, since it's your second time.
All right. Let's go back to the telephone line. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Well, caller, if you'll hold on, we'll get to you right after the break.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. And you probably won't hear anything during the break, but hang in there.
Sure will.
All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Let me just say, I got a whole bunch of messages that said, you know what, you just lost audio, and I didn't touch it, I promise you. Someone helped us out and just turned down the audio so that you were not getting audio over the video feed. I have no explanations for that, but I'm sure that someone with the capability of reaching in and doing something to our controls down at Ustream did that. They just turned it all the way down. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing?
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, I was going to mention for the last 5 minutes or so, we didn't have any audio for some reason. But it's all better
now.
That
was during the time that I was talking about UFOs and contacts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just, someone, let me see if I can describe this. On the internet TV channel, there are three programs that are open. One of those is the Ustream video control panel. And one of the adjustments on that is the audio. And somebody, when Jerry started talking about UFOs in contact, someone just reached in there and turned that audio down. However, everyone on the radio still heard it. And it's not impossible to shut us down, but it's a little more difficult these days than it used to be. Yes. Terry, did you have a comment or a question about this doorway?
Yeah, sure do. I remember he stated that he went through that one, and the high point that he mentioned is that when he came back, he was kind of like stuck, and he could see through the rock, and he had a hard time getting out. I was wondering I can't remember if he stated that he seen anything else in there that would be of interest, or did he know where he was at or anything?
Oh, yeah. You need to go into the members area and listen to that show. He described for us for almost 2 hours his trip through the doorway.
Okay. Yeah, I know you mentioned that. Yeah, it's got to be really dangerous to go through yourself. I was wondering if he ever thought about maybe trying to hook up with someone that's kind of up on electronics, and making it like a little robot or something, and possibly trying to send that through just for experimental and see what they could see and come up with.
What do you think, Jerry?
I'm an electronics engineer. That's my background. I could build a robot like that. The problem is that with these doorways, what you have is a very unique electronic phenomena that causes batteries to go dead. It causes electronics to fail. So consequently, trying to have an electronics device to go through the doorway with you usually means that it's going to fail. Well, we haven't figured out the way around that yet. But it's a very good question.
Oh, again. Yeah, I just wonder about that. It'd be a safe way. And yeah, I figured there'd probably be some complications there. I was thinking two ways. One, you would probably try and connect it with a cord, and then another way would be to try, and transmit somehow through the air or whatever. But I could see how you could run into problems there.
Remember in the part of the story I was just relating about the Indians throwing the chicken through, but they had thrown rocks through first, and the rocks just passed through it. Nothing happened with the rocks. It didn't really do anything until living tissue was thrown through there, the chicken. And at that point, the chicken vanished. So we really aren't sure what the dynamics are. I think that if you go through with your clothes, you end up on the other side with your clothes. And of course, this is not, living tissue, but it's connected to you. And it may be that you have to have a living person carrying something with them to get that through to the other side. I know the guys that are going to experiment with this time portal, they're going to have their sidearms with them and radios and GPS and a whole bit. So if they do make it through to the other side, they'll be able to document where they are one way or the other. Compasses, line of sight readings, sextant readings, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was wondering, if they would go with some kind of oxygen or some K they say ended up popping out a porthole in, say, on Mars or someplace, or the moon. I mean, you know, what would you do then?
That's
the
danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Not too keen on, you know, just jumping through without doing the research.
Yeah. Yeah, so you think it can be something like you've seen on a Terminator, that it reacts to flesh and not made things, materials.
Well, that's how it seems so far, but, you know, until we really get some testing done, we can only guess.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Terry, thanks for the call.
I envy you. You got a great life. I'm envious, so thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call, Terry.
Doing it so that everyone listening and everyone who watches the videos has a chance to share in this adventure. It would be easy to do it and just keep it to ourselves, but we want to share this with everyone so that everyone has an opportunity to share this adventure with us. But thank you. I appreciate that you're there, and I appreciate that everyone else is as well.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario. Can you guys hear me all right?
We hear you fine.
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, good.
Let me ask you a question, Kevin, before you get started. Are you hearing an echo back this evening?
No, not this time.
Okay, well, folks are aware that I took some time off, I think it was Friday night, to do some testing during the show to get things balanced with all that equipment that I showed at the beginning of tonight's show. Everything has to be balanced against everything. So I'm glad we got rid of the echo. What's your question or comment, Kevin?
Well, first off, Kev, you know, I'm going to send you a nice present for your birthday this year. It's an action figure of Jake Roberts. I think you'll like it.
Okay.
I don't know if you know who Jake Roberts was.
No, I really don't.
He was a former professional wrestler known as Jake the Snake. I think you'll like
it. Oh, yeah, Jake the Snake. Now, see, if you told me Jake the Snake, I know Jake the Snake. I not personally, but I know who that is, yeah. Do you know who Fritz Von Erich is?
Jerry. Yes. With these doors that these doorways that you found throughout South America and also the one in Arizona, do you think there may be some sort of a pattern between them and the other megalithic structures? And if this is part of some of the esoteric knowledge that many of the global elite are withholding from the people?
Yes, to both. I believe that some of these megalithic structures have built into them very specific features that, when you understand the details of what those built-in features are, then you're one step closer to using it the way it was meant to be used. I do believe that the global elite, whoever they are and whatever that really means, I believe that there are elements in this world that know the details of these places, and they've kept them a pretty closely guarded secret.
Illuminati,
yeah. I'm not sure who they are specifically, and I don't really know that they're even human. But I do have a feeling that this knowledge is known. It just is something that's been kept from people. And probably on one... whoops, just lost my lighting. On one hand, the reason may be simply that if people knew how to use these places, they might be able to travel back and forth through time or from place to place. And there are people who are wacky enough to think that they should change history. And if they did, then who knows what kind of a mess that would create.
Yeah. You know what I'd love to do also? You know, if you tie a string to my wrist, I'd definitely love to check out one of those portals and actually go through one of them. And I'd probably check out
what's
on the other side.
The problem with that is that the portals operate by creating a wormhole. And the way that you move through that is that the wormhole changes matter to energy. Mm-hmm. And the string would then just simply not exist at that point of the Kerr ring, and when you go right through that wormhole orifice, it would just it accelerates to the point to where matter becomes energy, and the string would go to a point and then drop, because everything from this point on, you know, past where the Kerr ring is at, that would just be turned entirely into energy, and of course there wouldn't be a string attached to you anymore.
So that means we wouldn't really know what's on the other side. And also, I've also read theory that if humans go through a wormhole, the electromagnetic shock of from the event horizon would actually kill a human being. Have you ever heard that scientific theory before?
Well, it's a theory, but these portals are bidirectional. And if you go into the member section of Kevin's show, you'll be able to listen to a really fascinating interview that I've listened to four or five times. It's Dr. Michio Kaku, and I think that would give you a real clear idea on some of the physics involved with this.
All right, great. And Kevin,
you have to be a member.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of my membership, when is it up? I know it's going to be up soon. Do you know?
No idea. I don't keep track of those. There's a lot of people in there.
I would play it safe and at least subscribe for 5 years. That way you won't miss anything.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great night.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Telephone number is 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hi, Rex.
Yeah. Hey, Jerry. Yeah, I had an idea. When you go to Arizona, well, I guess you live in Arizona, but when you go to that site in the desert, it'd be interesting to set up a time-lapse photography of the portal, you know, back for maybe a little distance, and see
That's
if anything shows up
do.
Interesting. Oh, you are going
Absolutely.
To?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got a high-definition camera we're going to set up on a tripod and just let it run, just eat up a tape.
Okay. Yeah, that could be really interesting, like you described in Eremumaru, where the locals said they saw people coming through at odd hours and stuff. So, you know, maybe you'll have the same type of effect here.
Yeah, well, that's what we're thinking, too, is, you know, whatever the anomalous features might be, if we set up an HD camera and do time lapse, then we should be able to catch something if there's anything there to catch. We really don't know that it has or what the timetable is for this thing to function.
Guys, I hate to do it. We have a break taking over. Thank you for the call, Rex, and be sure you call us again. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jerry Wills this evening, and we're talking about this doorway that is alleged to exist here in the southeastern United States. And Jerry's already made a scouting expedition to the site, near the site, and is going to be leading an expedition to really check this thing out in the very near future. If you have a question or a comment, we'd be glad to take your call at 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling tonight from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
How you doing?
Hi, Don.
Hi, Jerry. Well, you're nice and clear. I can hardly hear Kevin, but Jerry's very clear.
Oh, well, he's the important one.
Right. Tonight, at least. Jerry, you mentioned about not being able to send anything that's electronic through the porthole or doorway. Have you ever thought about taking a totally manual camera, an old-type camera with no batteries or anything, so he could take pictures.
Yeah, that's occurred to us, and we do have plans to have one of those with us this time. It's one of those cheap ones, you know, you buy at Walgreens.
Right, yeah. You know, well, even the old ones, you know, where no batteries, nothing.
Yep, that's in the plans.
Good, yeah. It'd be interesting to see some pictures, you know, you get on the other side there. Okay,
well, that's what we're wanting to do, is to get some validation with this.
All right, Don, thanks for the call. Telephone number is 623-444-5889, and if you have a question or comment, this is the time to call. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, hi, Kevin. This is Mark Felder calling.
Hi, Mark Felder.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Jerry. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm doing terrific.
Excellent.
I just wanted to say that I was planning on going through the doorway as well, so you've got two guys that are going to try and activate it.
What happens if you don't come back, Mark?
I guess I'm going to be on a pretty long vacation. That'll be kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah. You may have to deal with some conquistadors.
Yeah, well, I have no idea what I'll be dealing with.
Do you speak Spanish?
Yeah, well, it's a very brave thing, and the quest for knowledge requires, from time to time, that we go on to the thin ice to go into uncharted territories. And I have the greatest respect for Mark and the others who attempted the doorway and used the doorway in Peru, and who will attempt this one as well.
Yeah, Mark, did you have another question or comment? We have to kind of move it along because we're almost at the end of the show.
No, that's all I wanted to say.
All right, Mark, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Mark.
Yeah, I want to read this, I want to read this flash message from India. It says, why would Jerry not want to go through the portal? He went through one. Why not this one?
Well, you know what? I'm a big chicken. That's why.
This one might... weren't you a chicken at the first one?
Yeah. Well, I didn't expect anything was going to happen. And then when... it did happen. I was really surprised. You know, that doorway, we understand more about it now than we did when I went through it that first time. This particular portal, I just have a sense that it's slightly different, that it's like moving through time to other times. And I'm just wondering, you know, if that young Indian Native American boy went through, why didn't he come back?
Yeah, why didn't the chicken come back? Well, I don't know what's happened here, but apparently we have lost Jerry. So his audio. So we will get him back up. I don't know what's happened. It is almost time for us to be at the end of the show, so we'll just see if we can get Jerry back, because I certainly want him back on the show. We can still see his video, but we can't hear his audio. And let's see here. Okay, well, that's not working. I guess we're just going to have to put up with the help we're getting here tonight. And, we'll make one more attempt here to bring Jerry back. All right, let's see what happens. Yeah, it's not cooperating. Well, that's the way things go with live radio and live TV, but we'll see if we can get him back up here. All right, you can hear the phone is ringing, so maybe he's back with us. All right. I don't know what happened, Jerry, but welcome back. In the last few minutes, you want to sum up this expedition that's coming?
going to go and bring back knowledge. And once we have knowledge, then we're going to share it with everyone. Our goals are to go and find this place and document it the best way we can. And once we know what we're dealing with, then we're going to come back and report it to everyone so that they'll have as much as we know. There's not going to be anything that'll be held back. For the people that might want to go after us, we'll be happy to share the information. It's not going to be kept a big secret. And that's really about it. And if folks are members of the Kevin Smith Show, then you're going to be privileged to that information first, probably. I also suggest if you are interested, you can become a subscriber of the newsletter that I put out at expeditionstv.com.
All right, now how do they subscribe to your newsletter?
It's real simple. You just go to expeditionstv.com, and you'll see in the upper right corner of all the pages, there's a place there where you just put your email address, and you click subscribe.
Okay, and there's a chance, a pretty good chance, that I can go with you on this expedition. If I do that, then we will broadcast from there, and probably it will be a special broadcast, and I will just have to put out a notice to all of our K-Files E-Zine subscribers and our members on the day that we do that special broadcast. Now, that means, folks, that you need to subscribe to the K-Files E-Zine. You need to become a member if you're not a member, but you can subscribe to the K-Files E-Zine absolutely free. And you do that by going over to kevinsmithshow.com, click on one of the three links. Every once in a while someone says, well, I didn't see it. Well, there's three links on the main page that say K-Files E-Zine, and subscribe. It's absolutely free. There's no strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. But you need that. That's how you get in on this stuff. Okay. Sometimes people say, "Well, I didn't know." Well, you know, Jerry, if they don't subscribe to your newsletter, they don't know what you're doing. If they don't subscribe to mine, they don't know what I'm doing. That's the way we inform people. Do what?
They're just in the dark. They don't know what's going on then.
Yeah, that's true. Your newsletter is free too, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay, well, Jerry, I want to thank you for being with us. Stay with me online for just a moment. And, folks, that's a wrap. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.